MLB, NBA, NHL, NFL, Score Big has all the sports tickets you want at up to 60% off. It's easy to use. I've used it myself. All you got to do is log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and click the Score Big icon. Score Big, the lead pipe lock for great game tickets. Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Gambling Podcast Fantasy Football Edition. I am Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. Ryan, are you ready for some fantasy?
Yes.
That's what I like to hear. Appreciate the enthusiasm. We were off on vacation. Took a little time off. We're off the grid, but used it to research some fantasy picks, and we're stacked, ready to go.
Well, wait a second, Sean.
What's up?
Maybe the plane ride. I didn't do much researching in Hawaii.
Yeah, I researched the effects of tons of alcohol and getting wasted and eating way too much food and tooling around Hawaii. No, it was a good time, but looking forward to this fantasy football season, of course, especially with my Philadelphia Eagles, who I think fantasy wins will may outnumber the real wins of the actual team because, you know, you got this high-flying Chip Kelly system. A lot of fantasy value, I think, potentially for this Eagles offense. Just if you look just simply at the number of plays per game.
Yeah, I mean, look at how valuable some of the Lions were last year. And they were 4-12. Jamal Charles was great last year.
Yeah, from a fantasy perspective. Well, and then also, teams who run a lot of plays, Denver Broncos, New England Patriots, so it can break either way. But, yeah, Detroit Lions especially, really a fantasy anomaly. I had a Calvin Johnson on my team. I think I'm pretty sure he was,
Yeah, you did, because I remember how pissed you were early in the season when you were calling him a pile of crap.
Well, he didn't catch any touchdowns.
Well, that's what's crazy is he had a pretty phenomenal year with only 5 touchdowns.
He had a career year yardage. He blew away Jerry Rice's total yardage. Still had a pretty good year, a real good year fantasy-wise, but it was with only 5 touchdowns. Very bizarre.
So I have no context for this stat, and I'm stealing it from Matthew Berry, but 28 passes that were completed by the Lions, and a tackle was made inside the 5-yard line. So much like Stafford had a lucky year the previous year when he threw like 50 touchdowns or whatever he threw.
Yeah.
Last year, unlucky.
Complete opposite.
21 touchdowns. Calvin Johnson only had 5. I'd bet my salary that Calvin Johnson has more than 5 touchdowns this year.
Yeah, why not?
All right, let's just get into the top, the first round, right?
Yes, talk about I agree. Let me jump into the first round. Oh, real quick, Ryan, quick side note.
Side note.
For any of you real diehard degenerates out there, I know there's a lot. We always like to throw out the idea of riding the dogs in the preseason. Last I checked, or a recent stat I heard via pregame podcast, 67% of the dogs are hitting preseason football.
So, yep.
You know, people like to say, oh, the game doesn't matter. Why would you bet on it? But if anything, listen, you're trying to predict the outcome, correct, Ryan? Out of any game during the season, isn't it most obvious? Like, don't you feel like you have the most information in a certain sense as far as coaches explain how long they're going to play the starters? You know they're going to have a very limited playbook. You know they're not going to be calling a lot of exotic blitzes. They're going to be doing everything they can not to be injured. So it's, if anything, preseason, in a way, is almost more predictable than the regular season. So from a gambling perspective, there's a lot of value there.
Yeah. I mean, total,
I know it sounds like you're an asshole, but really, as far as injuries, playing time, what they're going to be doing, what preseason game do you watch and it's like a complete surprise? Like, oh my God, I didn't realize they were going to do that or something.
Yeah.
Refs aren't going to make any crazy calls.
You're not an asshole. You're just a degenerate for betting on preseason sports. But, I mean, like we spoke about, I don't know how the unders do, how the under did in week one, but we mentioned that the dogs are – why not take the dog? Why not? You're getting, what, maybe a couple series out of the starters?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway. So, should we explain what we're doing here?
Sure. That's
all right,
a good way.
To make it interesting – and to kind of talk through a full draft, because most fantasy draft previews, they only talk about the easy stuff, the top players, the first round. What we're going to do is, as we're doing this podcast, myself and Sean are drafting in a mock draft with the 10th pick, completely random.
We got the 10th pick, 10th out of 12.
We'll call it an expert's mock draft. Some of the brightest minds in fantasy football are joining us. And we're gonna take you through this draft as we go. So let's start with the first round. We're currently on the clock, Sean.
Ryan, you know what I like to say? I feel like a fantasy football season is won or lost in those, like, round 4 to 7, yeah, something like that, because that's where you get the guy that's going to make or break your team. That's the I won the league last year, Super Bowl champ, and much of it was me. I mean, it was a snake draft.
You did get Adrian Peterson in the third round.
Well, I think I got him in the fourth round. That's what I'm saying.
Was it the fourth
round?
Yeah,
no, wow. It was the fourth round. I think I got him
God,
early.
There's stupid reports about his
I got him early fourth round, and that's exactly the point I'm getting to, is that finding guys like that, obviously Adrian Peterson is a bit of an outlier when it comes to fantasy, but finding these guys that really should have been a first or second rounder and getting them in the fourth or fifth round, that's what's going to break you free in the fantasy football.
Yeah, it's the combination of guys who are going to break out, you know, picking guys who are going to break out, staying away from guys who are really overvalued, and drafting the guys that are just falling too far. Which every year it happens. There's a couple, like this year, Maurice Jones-Drew is going what seems to be pretty late. Who knows? I mean, the guy led the league in rushing less than 12 months ago. So
Liz Frank injury, though, that's always scares me.
We'll see. I mean, ACL tear. You can make the same argument.
Yeah.
Although players have been coming back from ACL tears a little more efficiently lately.
Yeah, Liz Frank. It seems like there's less they can do. Okay.
All right, so going through the first round. I mean, real quick. Just in full disclosure, all the ranking, I'm going off of ESPN's rankings. The draft we're in is using what I believe is standard ESPN scoring, much like the league that we're going to open up to you guys after this podcast. So real quick, Sean, let's go through the top 12 before we talk about our pick.
Okay.
And so here's ESPN's top 12. So what would be the first round in a 12-team league? Adrian Peterson won. No-brainer. That seems obvious, right?
Mm-hmm.
So after that, it gets interesting. Here's how ESPN ranks. I'll go up to the 5 or 6. Arian Foster, Marshawn Lynch, Ray Rice, Doug Martin, Jamal Charles.
Mm.
I don't have a huge problem with that. I'd probably move Doug Martin up to 3. Or maybe I'd move Jamal Charles to 3, Doug Martin to 4, then Lynch, then Ray Rice.
I'm not as high on Doug Martin this year. I'm out of those guys, and same with Ray Rice. I like Marshawn Lynch though a lot.
Yeah.
And out of those, I rank it: Adrian Peterson, Marshawn Lynch, LeSean McCoy, and then some of those other guys.
All right, so
maybe there's a little bit of a homerness in there, but I really think you look at these guys, the running backs, a lot of this comes down to carries. Running backs in the NFL have a very small window. So if you're going, if you're picking a guy early who's had multiple 300, 350
yep.
attempts, 400 touches, I don't know. I'm hesitant to go there. Jamal Charles I'm okay with, because I think Andy Reid's going to get a lot of work out of him. But Ray Rice, I wasn't high on Ray Rice last year. He had a good year. And Doug Martin, I don't know. I'm not as high on Doug Martin as other people.
A couple of things to point out real quick before we move to 7 through 12. One, Doug Martin, nickname Muscle Hamster. Gotta love that.
That is true.
Two, played basically half the season without the two best offensive linemen on the team. He's clearly the only guy there. I kind of was against him too, but the more I've kind of looked into it, the more it seems like he's going to be productive. I love Jamaal Charles. Andy Reid has shown over the years he loves to use one back. He's not a multi-back guy. He uses one back. And
just the offense that they're going to be bringing. I mean, you look at Westbrook's production from a fantasy perspective was great because you don't think Andy Reid is going to run some screens with Alex Smith and Jamaal Charles. I mean, Alex Smith was completing 70% of his passes.
Yep.
And that's because he was put in a system where they set him up to complete passes.
Yep.
I mean, you're talking about the guy with the number one QB rating, gets knocked out of the game for self-reporting a concussion, never sees the field again. He's going to have a chip on his shoulder. He's going to be out in the AFC West. He's going to be able to move the ball against teams like Oakland and San Diego, who they play four times. Jamaal Charles is going to factor into it a lot. Now, he did some sort of injury to his foot. He's going to miss the rest of the preseason, but
sounds like he's fine. I saw a video of him running around before the preseason game that was on Friday night.
I don't think it's anything to take him down.
Now, real quick, I agree. I completely agree. I mean, I would even if I had the number two pick, I would be very. I might take Jamaal Charles with the two pick this year. Just throw that out there. Arian Foster is definitely the safer pick because what they do in Houston, it seems like. But Jamaal Charles could be huge.
I see. Now, if I had number two, assuming AP goes, I might take Marshawn Lynch there.
Okay. I wouldn't really argue. See, Marshawn Lynch is a guy.
But see, he's another guy. That's almost just a personal preference. Especially, part of that is just he's so fun to watch. Yeah.
And especially in leagues where you don't get extra points for catches, he's really a beast. All right, going through 7 through 12. We got C.J. Spiller, Trent Richardson, Alfred Morris, Calvin Johnson, the first non-running back out there, LeSean McCoy, and Aaron Rodgers closing out the top 12. LeSean McCoy seems too low. One thing about Chip Kelly's offense, everyone's talking about how fast-paced it's going to be, but I feel like people assume it's a passing offense. If you watched Oregon, they ran the ball probably, 60%
of the time.
Okay, there you go. Now, my one concern would be, are they going to be a multi-back system? Are they going to try to crowbar in Bryce Brown or the other
Polk?
Who knows? Doesn't look like Felix Jones is going to make the team. So that brings us, since we just talked about the bottom half. Now, one thing I will say real quick, I love C.J. Spiller and Trent Richardson this year. Alfred Morris, I've heard some people talk about how they think that because they're going to run less with RG3, or they think they're going to run less with RG3, Alfred Morris could be a great pick. My thing is, I think Roy Helu could easily end up being the starter by week 9. Roy Helu is kind of more dynamic, catches the ball better. And then, I don't know, before we make our pick, Sean, what's your take on taking a receiver or quarterback in the first round with Calvin Johnson or Aaron Rodgers?
Well, Aaron Rodgers wouldn't be my fourth. Aaron Rodgers isn't my first quarterback on my board.
Okay.
I'm looking to Drew Brees or Tom Brady for the number one quarterback spot.
Wow. Tom Brady minus all the weapons.
Yeah. And I think, and that's just an overall prediction for how New England's going to be in FU mode. I expect huge things from New England.
Yeah.
They're going to be running the ball a little bit more, but I don't know. I have a feeling this is going to be one of Brady's last, like, superior dominant years. Green Bay is getting – I don't know. Green Bay seems to be dealing with some injuries already. They seem a little off.
Lost their left tackle. Already got sacked 51 times last year.
Yeah.
All right, Sean. Calvin Johnson. I don't think anyone would fault anyone for taking Calvin Johnson. Honestly, I think you could take Calvin Johnson as early as – the third pick, even the second pick. I don't think it's crazy to take Calvin Johnson second. He's going to score more touchdowns. He played last year with three broken fingers. I think you have to be concerned
about...
There's
no sign they're going to slow down. And if anything, having a guy like Reggie Bush...
Yeah, it's one more guy to account for.
I think they... Some stat, it was like... There were five... The Detroit Lions were like 5-0 with Javad Best. And then they were something like 5-19 after he went down. Like, the fact that they had no running game just made them so one-dimensional. And is Reggie Bush, he's maybe not that feature back he dreams of being, but he is enough of a running game with that stacked passing attack that it's really going to open
He's perfect for that team.
Yeah.
on turf. He's averaged something crazy like 5.5 yards a carry on turf. All right, so Sean, we're on the clock.
Okay.
The draft, as I'm not going to do this every round, but so here's how the draft went in our experts mock draft. Peterson, sure. Foster, Martin, Charles, Spiller, Lynch. Lynch fell a little bit for you.
Yeah.
Ray Rice, Trent Richardson, Alfred Morris going ninth. A little bit of a surprise for me. So that I think that makes our I don't think we have much of a choice. I honestly think we have two options here. We either go Calvin Johnson or we go LeSean McCoy. I love McCoy at this point. Like I said, I think McCoy could have a huge year.
Yeah.
He's really good. I mean, this is a little crazy. He was a second/third pick last year.
Yeah, and also I think there's a lot of value in quarterbacks late.
Yes. I was going to bring that up, but quarterback position's really deep. I really think, especially if you're in a 12-team league, you can really wait and take the 12th quarterback. Now, I think you should kind of feel your draft out. If a quarterback falls, like, I'm not a Redskins fan, but if RG3 is sitting looking at me in, like, the 7th round, 8th round, it's hard not to take him there.
Yeah, but, I mean, even if you went in with your quarterbacks as Alex Smith and Michael Vick, and you stacked up on running backs and receivers?
Definitely.
I wouldn't be bummed out about it.
You're even crazier because Vic's, I believe Vic's going 16th amongst quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You could go Vic, EJ Manuel. Just take or Colin Kaepernick, Michael Vick, or Russell Wilson, Michael Vick.
Yeah.
There's definitely some sleepers to be had. It's interesting because the quarterback, it is deep. You could even end up with Eli and Jay Cutler and feel pretty good about it.
Yeah. No, right. I would be fine with that.
All right, Sean. So we had the 10th pick. Calvin Johnson, we took McCoy, Calvin Johnson.
Oh, Steven Jackson.
Forte, Steven Jackson, Chris Johnson, all go after us. Steven Jackson's an interesting guy. Mm. He could have a great year, but he also is getting old. He could easily not have a great year. He's one of those guys I would prefer not to draft because when you're in the first couple of rounds, you got to take guys who are going to be solid. You know they're going to produce. I'd rather take a consistency over potential.
Now, just where we're I know we just talked about value late quarterbacks, but I don't know. I mean, we're at the end of the
– Well, so – all right, so pick three in the second round.
Yeah.
And we have the opportunity to take a top-flight receiver. I know Calvin Johnson's gone, but this is where you either go the route of grabbing another running back, like a Steven – do you think Steven Ridley's going to – but it feels early for him. In my opinion – I either go, especially if you're in a point per reception league, but even if you're not, Jimmy Graham's going to be so much better than every other tight end, especially with Gronk out. But honestly, I would prefer to go the route of taking one of the receivers who you know is going to catch a ton of balls.
All right, so let's sort out by receiver. Who do we got?
So for me, I rank them after Calvin Johnson. I'm going to go A.J. Green, Brandon Marshall, Dez Bryant. Now, A.J. Green and Brandon Marshall for me are kind of interchangeable.
Yeah, I say I go Brandon Marshall here just because even when Cutler didn't have a good year, he still got a ton of yards.
I'm not going to argue with taking Brandon Marshall.
All right, let's just take Brandon Marshall. Okay.
All right, let's touch on the quarterbacks.
Sure.
While the mock draft's getting back to us. Like we talked about, seems really deep. I'm going to read off, again, this is coming from ESPN, but here are the quarterbacks in order. Rodgers, Breeze, Peyton, Brady, Newton, Matt Ryan, Colin Kaepernick, RG3, Stafford, who going at the 9th quarterback, you know he's going to throw a ton.
Yeah, he had 5,000 yards
Russell
last year.
Wilson.
So a guy who had 5,000 yards is 9th in the quarterback fantasy ratings.
Yes.
That's insane. Yeah, yes, I understand Detroit didn't score a lot of touchdowns, but you got to think that's somewhat of an anomaly.
Well, here, I'm going to keep going. Russell Wilson, 10th, which seems crazy. Andrew Luck, Tony Romo, Eli Manning, Roethlisberger, Flacco, Vic, Sam Bradford, Dalton, Cutler, Freeman. Those are your top 20.
Wow.
Carson Palmer's 21. Matt Schaub's 22. I mean, why take a quarterback early?
Yeah. No, I mean, But, man, it's hard to turn down like a Drew Brees. But, yeah, seriously, I mean, Matt Stafford. Why
not load up on positional players? You know, anyway, so the notables who went off the board since we last picked. Well, should we Jimmy Graham and Gronk went as the top two tight ends. Rodgers, Brees, and Peyton Manning went in that order. And then Dez, A.J. Green, and Demaryius Thomas, Julio Jones, Andre Johnson went from the receivers. And MJD, Ridley, Bush, Gore, DeMarco Murray, McFadden, Lamar Miller, and David Wilson all went. I do not like Murray or McFadden this early. I just feel like they're too much of an injury risk.
Agreed.
Two guys I do love, and I'm kind of bummed they're going up the draft board, is Lamar Miller and David Wilson. They're two second-year players who could be really, really explosive. So at this point, we're kind of looking, like, do we grab another? See, in my opinion, I'm grabbing another running back or receiver right here.
Yeah, let's hold off on the I'm looking at it right now. I'm thinking Larry Fitzgerald.
I agree. Think, when's the last time he had a good quarterback?
Yeah, he still had a decent year last year with fucking,
Kevin Cobb?
Kevin Cobb was, like, the best quarterback option. Guy can't avoid a floor mat. Now you got Carson Palmer, which Carson Palmer is past his prime, but he's still a huge upgrade. I think he had 70 catches last year still.
Yeah, it, for me, if we're going back to the receiver position, in my opinion, the options are pretty straightforward. I think we go Fitzgerald, Roddy White, or sorry, Fitzgerald. I kind of want to stay away from Roddy White this year.
Well, just because Julio Jones.
Yeah, so I would, and I don't really want anything to do with Vincent Jackson. I would probably go in the Fitzgerald, Cruz, Cobb range.
Yeah, I'd say Larry Fitzgerald. The guy's a playmaker.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that. I'm fine with going Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, he's a guy who is in years past is taken at the end of the first round. And yeah, like we said, he finally has another quarterback.
It's a definite upgrade.
So, yeah, speaking of receivers, let's keep talking. Let's finish talking about quarterbacks. So who do you like? Who are you targeting, Sean? So we established that we think we should wait on a quarterback.
Yeah.
So who are you going to look to get?
All right, so we're waiting on quarterbacks. We're not going to probably go early. I mean, you know, some of the guys we already threw out. A guy like Michael Vick. A guy like, yeah, Matt Stafford. And just get two of those kind of next-level guys. Like a Russell Wilson and an Eli Manning. I just play the matchups. I kind of like that strategy.
Yeah.
Or even like a Colin Kaepernick and a Russell Wilson. I mean, can you imagine that? Imagine you could easily pull off a Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick, or even a, I don't know, even a.
You could really just wait.
Jay Cutler, even. Know what I mean? Like a Cutler and like a Matt Stafford.
You could spend like your 8th and 10th picks on two pretty good quarterbacks, I think. So anyway, it's back to us. So since we picked Cam Newton, Vincent Jackson, Le'Veon Bell, and Roddy White came off the board. So, again, this is a league. I believe we're starting. Yeah, it's two running backs, two receivers, one flex. Can be a running back or receiver. Then one of everything else. So now the question becomes, do we grab one more of those potential stud receivers?
I think so, right? I mean,
it's like staring right at us is Victor Cruz.
Yeah.
Victor Cruz in the 4th round.
Yeah.
Because he's not just a slot receiver. He has, I mean, you saw him in the preseason. He makes big plays. He's Eli's favorite target. Hard to not take. That would give us three surefire number one receivers.
Yeah, I'm down.
Doing it, Sean.
All right.
All right,
I like the way our team's shaping up.
Let's recap. First four rounds, we got LeSean McCoy, Brandon Marshall, Larry Fitzgerald, and Victor Cruz. That feels pretty good.
All right, so now maybe another running back or tight end, depending on.
So now, yeah, now we're definitely in need for. So now you see there's, as the draft's going, six quarterbacks have come off the board and five tight ends now. See, even tight end, I think, if you're willing to wait, there's so a couple more quarterbacks. Maybe this is where we grab a quarterback, Sean.
Well, we just saw Andrew Luck and Colin Kaepernick go off the board right in front of us, so I feel like that might people are waiting on quarterbacks. That might be a signal for us to
start. So 10 teams have taken quarterbacks.
So we're
so there's only us and one other team without a quarterback.
Yeah, let's
see. So maybe we can wait then.
Maybe we can. Let's see. Yeah, because I guess you're right, because they're not going to be drafting their second quarterback.
I doubt anyone's going to grab a backup. All right, so now this brings up, we just talked about it. We need a running back.
All right, sort out by running back. Let's see who's still available.
So, I don't know. For me, have you watched Hard Knocks yet, Sean?
No, I got to get on it.
Giovanni Bernard is going to be a sleeper pick this year. Looks really good for Cincinnati. Still available. Darrell Richardson. Shane Vereen, who they're saying they're lining up all over the board as receiver. Tom Brady's going to throw to him a lot. Maybe has more value in a PPR league. D'Angelo Williams. No, he seems to be going a little late this year. No Stewart early. He's hurt. Rashard Mendenhall could be big with Arizona. We did just pick Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
For me, Monty Ball. I know they're saying that Ronnie Hillman is slightly ahead of him right now, but I feel like Monty Ball is going to end up being the starter, and it's going to be a Peyton Manning run offense. He could end up being a surefire number one.
All right, I like the Monty Ball play here.
So I don't know what. It's interesting because you don't think of wanting the running back on a Peyton Manning team, but they always perform because he puts them in the position to make plays.
Yeah, and they'll get some goal line touches.
All right, so since we picked Olsen, Romo, Antonio Brown, and Mendenhall went off the board, which means if we wanted to, Sean, we could grab a bench running back here, and now everyone's taking a quarterback at this point.
Oh, what about a tight end? What about a JerMichael Finley, Ryan?
Here's my take on tight ends. There's some guys you can take much later and take two of them. I mean, at this point, it's like, what's the difference really going to be? You got Finley, Gates, Daniels. I'm real high on Kyle Rudolph, Jared Cook, and Jordan Cameron. Jordan Cameron's going into a North Turner offense in Cleveland. I think he had 3 catches and 2 touchdowns in the first preseason game. By all accounts, he's
all over
the field.
Yeah, I mean, there's not any real game changers there. Maybe we wait.
I think you wait. The quarterback position, which we still need a quarterback.
I'm liking Russell Wilson.
I kind of think this is the time to pull the trigger on Russell Wilson and maybe grab Vic later. Yeah, Russell Wilson seems to be getting a little. So I'm going to quote Matthew Berry, but after they went to the spread option offense, he really turned it on.
The guy just looks like a hungry competitor.
So now we're looking at a team. We got 3 receivers, 2 running backs, and a quarterback. So maybe we're at the stage now where we either take a tight end or we just start loading up our bench. Now, again, you heard my take on tight ends. And where we're picking, I think we can go non-tight end here. No tight ends have come off the board since we picked. There's only 3 picks in between this pick and the last pick. So now, for running backs, we probably should grab another running back. Who do you like?
Let's see. Maybe Fred Jackson.
See, now we've gotten to the point where we got a lot of backup running backs out here, Sean.
Yeah.
So.
Well, what about Woodhead? How many carries?
Well, that's what I was just going to bring up. He's probably more valuable in a PPR.
Yeah.
But by all accounts, Ryan Matthews is not doesn't have the coach's backing fully. And Danny Woodhead's going to catch some balls. Now, let's see if there's...
Plus, also, you got to look at San Diego doesn't have a great line, so that's bad, obviously, for running. But that will... I think they'll probably run a lot of screens. So a guy like Danny Woodhead could get some of that.
Yeah. I mean, I would not be opposed to taking Danny Woodhead right here. The other option is to load up with a bench receiver.
Miles Austin or a Mike Williams?
Not big on Mike Williams. T.Y. Hilton is starting to have a good camp. Stevie Johnson.
Oh, yeah. I like the Stevie Johnson play.
Number one receiver.
Yeah, you're getting a number one receiver.
And then there's What about Craig Jennings? I'm fine with either one of those guys. I would probably lean towards taking honestly, maybe the smart move is that let's just take Stevie Johnson. You're right. I like that pick.
He's the number one receiver. You're getting him pretty late. And the guy has the ability to make plays.
So now I think
eighth round, right?
Kyle Rudolph just went off the board in between our picks, and I got to be honest, now is where I want to snag, because there's two tight ends. Well, there's a handful of tight ends, but one of them just went, Kyle Rudolph. I'm all over. And shit, JerMichael Finley's still around. That's kind of interesting. I would be fine taking JerMichael Finley here. I'd be fine taking Jared Cook here. Apparently, is lining up all over the field and just having a tremendous preseason.
Yeah, I like JerMichael Finley.
Let's do it. I mean, it's better offense.
Pretty safe pick.
No, Greg Jennings. Someone's gonna have to pick up some catches. Yeah. So, but back to what should we talk about, Sean? While this mock draft's dragging on.
Any other random sleepers?
Let's talk about some guys we want to avoid. Any guys you want to avoid in the first couple rounds?
Not feeling RG3. I don't know. I think he's going to have a decent year, but from a fantasy perspective, I don't think he's worth where you're going to have to draft him at.
I honestly think every quarterback's overvalued this year because of depth. I think unless something crazy happens and Peyton Manning falls to you in the fifth or sixth round, why not just wait? It just seems like load up on positional players. I don't know. I kind of don't want to take Ray Rice this year. I'm a little nervous about Bernard Pierce. I'm a little nervous about Steven Jackson. It seems too good to be true.
Frank Gore, another guy.
Frank Gore is going fairly late, but yeah, it just seems like he's a ticking time bomb. I don't know. All right, so since we picked, Sean,
yes,
we made a good call because five tight ends went off the board after picked Finley.
Yeah, that's a part of the overall fantasy strategy you have to consider. Is
you got
to
beat the run.
Yeah, because you'll see, and you can almost see it go off, especially. Obviously, more so when you're playing against human competition. Once they start seeing quarterbacks going, people start panicking, thinking, I have to get a quarterback. But yeah, really, if you can wait it out until all 11 of the people have drafted quarterback in a way, then you have leverage, because you have leverage over the fact that you know what I mean? Like, they're not going to draft the second quarterback before you get your first.
Most likely, yeah. It's true, and it's probably a pretty smart move. So now the question, Sean, we still only have two running backs. Do we have to take something now?
I think so, right? Because I think who we're eyeing in quarterback, we can still get next round, or the type of quarterback we're looking to get, we can get next round.
Yeah, I don't think we need to take – I think we'll be able to take Vic close to the end of the draft, to be honest with you. Now, that's going to change if he keeps this preseason tear up. But honestly, I know everyone's high on Steven Jackson, and everyone thinks Steven Jackson's going to have this great year. But Jaquizz Rodgers was pretty solid last year.
Got a lot of goal line carries. And
he shouldn't be going eight rounds after Steven Jackson. Should he?
I don't think so. I like I said, I think Steven Jackson, add him to the list of guys who I think are a bit overvalued. I like Jaquizz Rodgers here. Or even a Bernard.
Do we take Jaquizz Rodgers?
Jaquizz Rodgers.
Yeah, I think we got – I think – I
like that.
I just think he's going to – he was a big part of the offense last year, and they're not going to just sit him down.
Yeah, I mean, the same way that Michael Turner wasn't the true number one, I don't expect Steven Jackson to be the true number one.
I think he'll definitely have a solid year. But all right, so now moving on, do we grab another running back?
Who do we got over?
I love Isaiah Pede. I know the Rams are saying they're going to do a committee, and Isaiah Pede suspended for the first game. I don't know.
Yeah, what was that? It was like a team, personal discipline or something?
I don't even know what it was. Our other options are, I mean,
just see what we got going on with receiver.
Oh, Sean, we have some serious receiver depth, and we might be a little shallow at the running back position. Best way to fix that? snag Justin Blackmon right now, even though he's out for the first four games. When he comes back, now we've got some trade bait to potentially go after a solid number two running back, because we're going to have so much receiver depth.
All right. I'm down with the Justin Blackmon.
I think at this point, why not?
Well, we're not going to have a bye in the first 4 weeks, so he's not going to be a starting receiver anyway.
Yeah. And, I mean, you saw what he did down the stretch. He completely tore it up. I mean, with a horrible quarterback, too. Not that that situation is going to get any better.
Yeah, I don't know. We don't look for Blaine Gabbert to grow by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, but I would say our biggest weakness to this point is just running back. We're shallow at running back. We might want to think about, well, like I said, I think our strategy will become trade for a running back, because we're five deep. We have five receivers that people would start. All right, so backup quarterback starting to get taken. Backup tight ends starting to be taken. How confident are you with Jermichael Finley?
Fairly. I mean,
if this was a team that I was doing on my own, this is the spot where I would go and grab Jordan Cameron. 11th round. It sounds like he's being featured in that offense.
Yeah, I'm fine with him.
And also, I kind of like waiting on the same reason. Same with quarterback and tight end this year. I know it's kind of a waste for bench spots, but I really like the idea of kind of having two of them and flip flopping, being able to play matchups if one guy doesn't work out. All right, Sean.
How are we looking?
Now what do we do? Well, we're still short on the running back side of things. So, not much out there. I say we grab Lerod Stevens-Howling. I watched the preseason game against the Giants. I know Le'Veon Bell is going to be the starter, but he's missed the first game because of an injury. He re-aggravated that same knee injury, and everyone assumed Dwyer would be the starter. Stevens-Howling came out and looked good.
What about LeGarrette Blount?
Do you think he's going to be the goal line back? I'm terrified to take any running backs on New England. They just fuck with you.
Yeah, but a lot of potential.
Another guy to look at is Zach Stacy. He's most likely going to be the goal line back for St. Louis. He's a bigger bruiser. He could end up being the starter.
What about
Who
Mike
knows?
Tolbert?
Mike Tolbert's not going to. I mean, I guess he'll get some carries while Stewart's out.
Yeah.
I would go, or we could grab someone like Robert Turbin if Lynch gets hurt. Hmm. I would say the move is to grab Steven.
Or even a Joe McKnight. I mean,
Chris Ivory gets hurt a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. The coaches seem to like Joe McKnight.
He's just garbage, though. Like, I'd have a hard time taking him now. Maybe as a flyer. But I don't know. I feel like we have to take a running back here.
All right, let's go Zach Stacy.
I would either go Dwyer, Stevens-Howling from Pittsburgh, because Le'Veon Bell hasn't shown that he can be healthy. And Stevens-Howling looked really good in the first preseason game. I know you're not supposed to go off of that, but he seems like, at a minimum, he's going to be the third down back. He played in Haley's offense in Arizona.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Sounds good.
But like Sean was saying, this is where you really win your... This is where you pick a guy, like, if Jordan Cameron turns out to be, like, a top five tight end. But yeah, I don't know. So, we were talking about guys we stay away with. What about sleepers, Sean, since we're getting to that part of the draft?
Let me think.
Give me a quarterback sleeper.
Quarterback sleeper, okay.
Not named Michael Vick, because that... I have a feeling by the time we draft, he's going to be... He's going to be a top 12 quarterback.
I mean, Jay Cutler, you know, this guy from Montreal bringing over this new offense. You can only go up from where Lovie Smith had them. The defense still looks pretty sharp. I don't think there's going to be a drastic decrease. And you got a guy with a good arm with a number one receiver. He's not afraid to throw it, the ball. I mean, really, yeah, you don't like interceptions, but minus two here, minus two there, for a guy that's going to be, you know, having some big play opportunities. I think at where he's rated some places, like
19th by ESPN.
Yeah. I think there's some value there, definitely.
All right, I'm gonna go two. I'm going to say first sleeper, and probably the more genuine sleeper, Sam Bradford. First time in his, I believe, in his career, period, college and pro, that he's had... No, that's not true. First time in his pro career, for sure, that he's had the same coordinator 2 years in a row. That's huge. They got some weapons around him. I think he could take a big step forward. Also, Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer is not a bad quarterback, and I know he looked bad in Oakland, but quarterbacks look better when they're throwing a Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, especially in Arizona.
Yeah, I just think that's who I'm going with for my quarterback sleeper. Should we do a bust?
Sure.
Quarterback bust? Who's being taken way too high?
Like I said, I'm not really as high on RG3 as everyone else is. Let's see here. I don't.
Mine's Kaepernick.
Okay.
I mean, what? I agree with you that RG3 is it seems like a risky pick. You don't know if they're going to change the system or change the amount of time. He's valuable because he runs.
Yeah, and I guess I'm saying Aaron Rodgers is going to be a bust. And the fact that I don't think he's the number one quarterback.
I would take Breeze over him.
So, a bust meaning that he's not going to put up number one QB numbers. Mark my words, Aaron Rodgers is not going to be in the top three
okay.
of fantasy quarterback points.
Well, I like that. We just got a bold prediction.
Yep. I stand by it. And listen, is he going to have a bad year? No, he's going to have a very good year, but he's not going to have an insane year. And with the way guys are putting up numbers this year, or you know, these days at the quarterback position, I think he's a bit of a risk.
Yeah, I'll make a prediction, Sean. There's going to be, of your top five quarterbacks, I think three of them are going to be running quarterbacks.
Okay.
I'll go even further. I think Russell Wilson's top five quarterback.
Yeah, well, that's why I feel pretty good getting him later in the...
I like RG3 more than you, but I think for me, for my bust, it's going to be Kaepernick. I know I just said that thing about running quarterbacks, but we didn't see... It just seems like we're getting a little too ahead of ourselves with this guy. I'd like to see him do it. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. But people are talking about him like he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Jaworski basically said he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Little crazy.
Well, Jaworski wouldn't know anything about...
Yeah.
He's just sympathetic to another guy who loses a Super Bowl.
Yep.
I think Russell Wilson, when he hit that 50-yard bomb in Seattle... against the Patriots.
Yeah.
Basically to win that game. That's when I realized this dude's a winner.
He's got that if. Recently, Sean, I watched Yasiel Puig play baseball live for the first time. And much like...
Very exciting.
Forget the exciting part. Because you see that shit on TV. What you don't see is when the guy... I always like to watch guys walk up to the batter's box. I feel like you can tell a lot by how a guy carries himself.
Yeah.
Much like Russell Wilson... When he's in the pocket and guys are swarming him, ready to sack him, he's cool and acts like he's been there before. Yasiel Puig acts like he's cool, calm, just walked up to the plate.
The press conference he gave after that loss in Atlanta, was like one of the best press conferences I've seen, especially out of a rookie.
Yeah.
In a playoff loss, he came out and was just basically like, yep. It's unfortunate we lost. Just can't wait to start next year. And it was just this, like, he just hit that perfect ground of he was very confident in his ability. You could instantly see he was, you know, realizing the opportunity he lost. And he was just hungry to get back out on the field. This is after they blew a game they probably could have won, should have won. And he's missing a chance to go to the Super Bowl or NFC Conference and then the Super Bowl. And he's not pouting. He's not reacting poorly. He's not blaming the refs, coaches, or teammates. He just puts it on his shoulders and calmly moves on. I think that's what you look for in a complete package.
Yeah, real quick, not to sidetrack into college, but when he had one more year of eligibility at NC State, and the coach basically said, "You got to go. I got this kid coming up, Mike Glennon. I want him to play." That's crazy. That was crazy when it happened. Mike Glennon's now, he got drafted this year. He's backing up Josh Freeman. Was never as good as Russell Wilson in college. It's crazy how he gets disrespected because he's short, basically. Anyway, so it's back to us, Sean. Unfortunately, we're down to the last two rounds of the draft. You know what that means.
What?
defense and kicker. So yeah, if you could learn one thing from me and Sean, you really shouldn't take a defense or a kicker. Kicker last round, defense round before, unless you're in a really deep league where there's like 24 rounds.
Well, what about a backup quarterback? Do we give a...
I guess we misplayed our... I didn't realize how many rounds there were, Sean. We can always drop someone and pick up Vic, who's going to go undrafted in our league, in this league.
Wow. I say we draft Vic, just to make sure.
We're going to assume you're in a league that doesn't do kickers. And we're going to pick... actually, we'll just pretend there's an extra round, and we'll take a fake kicker.
I'm fine in not taking a kicker. Honestly...
I'm actually in a league this year, Sean. No kicker.
I'm fine with that.
It's like kicker and defense. Like, do we really need that shit? So we're going to take Michael Vick with our backup. That's crazy. There's no way he goes... This is a 12-team league with 5 bench spots. How is...
All right, we got to get Greg the leg.
I thought we weren't taking a kicker, Sean. We got to take a defense.
Okay, go for a defense. See what we got here.
I mean, they're all the same. They really are all the same.
I'm always a fan of just getting, like, 2 defenses and just...
If you have a deeper bench, you can do that, or
yeah,
just stream them.
Yeah, I guess depending on how deep your bench is. But, yeah, I always like just managing the defense week by week and playing matchups. You know what I mean? Like, I'm fine with just picking up whatever defense is currently going against the Jags that week.
Or the car. I mean? Yeah, yeah. I mean, someone pointed out last, if you had just played the team going against the Cardinals, you would have had the number 2 defense.
Yeah.
So it's like... Obviously, you can't do that every week. I kind of like the St. Louis Rams here. That defense was fierce, and they played some tough teams tight.
And they played well in their division. They have a nice home field. And you got a Tavon Austin if you're playing special teams.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks explosive. So, all right, real quick, Sean. Running back. Let's call it a bust and a sleeper.
Okay. Well,
bust compared to where they're drafted. Matthew Berry always has to point out that he's not saying that he hates these people, but he hates where they're going. It's like, come on.
Yeah, we're grown men. We can figure that out. Okay. Based off this list that I got in front of me, which I think is pretty similar. Well, I don't know. Is David Wilson even a sleeper? I mean, judging by the mock draft, it seems like...
He's going in the 3rd to 4th round. He could easily end up being a top 10 running back. I mean, if you watched him at all last year, especially return kicks, he's explosive. So really, who knows what could happen? I would say, I mean, that would have been one of my sleepers had you not brought it up. I mean, I'm a little nervous he's not going to get a ton of carries, but he's so explosive. The Giants have not had too many players that can take it 80. I think he definitely can end up being a top running back.
Well, then I guess I would have to say my bust is Ray Rice. I just don't like the year after year of carries.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, he'll still probably have a pretty good year, and I still think the Ravens aren't going to have quite the drop-off that everyone thinks they'll be having. I'll save my... all my thoughts for the over-under podcast coming up. But, I think the Ravens...
Yeah, stay in the fantasy world, Sean, not the real world.
I'm just telling you. Sometimes they intersect, Ryan. Ray Rice, not quite what everyone thinks he's going to be putting up.
Yeah, for me, 3 guys who I'm not touching in the first round. First or second. Well, first round. Ray Rice, who's going in the first round. I would not spend a pick on him. I wouldn't spend a first-round pick on Alfred Morris, and I wouldn't spend a first-round pick on Steven Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with, like you said, I wasn't high on Alfred Morris or Steven Jackson. As a first-round pick, that's crazy. The Pro Football Weekly I got has him listed 20th of running backs, which I think is a little more fair assessment.
Yeah, some other guys later I'm not touching. DeMarco Murray can't stay healthy. Darren McFadden, I just don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, no, Darren McFadden, same type of thing.
Now, some guys who I do like later...
Or maybe even a sleeper, Mojo.
Yeah, MJD.
Fun guy to run for.
He's going in the 3rd, 4th. I mean, he's probably going to go in late 2nd, 3rd round. But last, 2011 season, he led the league in rushing yards. Now, he's coming back off an injury, but who knows? He could be this year's AP, Sean.
He very well could be.
Another guy who I think is going a little late, Ahmad Bradshaw. Not a bad, I mean, very solid running back for the Giants. Blocks well. By all accounts, should be healthy for the regular season. And he's going late.
And I think I looked at his, he was averaging like 4.6 yards a carry.
He's a solid, I mean, he was a solid player for the Giants. Sad to see him go. They have some players who they're,
yeah, they're well, I was going to, what was that, I didn't see, what was the reason they got rid of him? Was it just money?
They had Wilson and Brown, and he's hurt and old, and it was kind of one of those things, they're not going to pay him. He went in the fifth round. So I think in the fifth round, that's basically when we took Monty Ball. I like Bradshaw there. I also like you said, David Wilson. I like Chris Johnson this year, Sean. Chris Johnson, now, it depends where.
Well, we got in a big argument last year.
Yeah.
Because I thought, and still rightly so, that he wasn't a first-round pick overall. He ended up having an okay
pretty
year.
Pretty solid year.
Pretty
but
solid
I'm
year.
Taking
but hit. Also a little lopsided as far as, like, I'd rather a guy that's going to consistently give me 10 points than a...
Oh, I agree. I totally agree with that. But if you're sitting there at the end of the second round and you already have Adrian Peterson and you can pair him up with Chris Johnson or maybe Jamal Charles, and I think if you're at the end of the second round, you have to consider...
Personally, I'm done with... I retired Chris Johnson in fantasy, but I definitely agree with the value there.
A couple other guys, Giovanni Bernard, like I talked about. I think his value is going to get inflated because of Hard Knocks. I think you're going to see how good he is. And also, Eddie Lacy. Eddie Lacy was a beast at Alabama. Anyone who watched an Alabama game, he might not be Trent Richardson, but he was pretty good. And now he's going to the Packers. By all accounts, he's killing the other running backs in the competition. So I don't mind Eddie Lacy. And Eddie Lacy's coming off the board pretty late, too. I think he's coming off the board in, like, the sixth, seventh round. So that fifth, sixth round. So that just seems, I don't know. Oh, also, Ryan Matthews. I'm not touching Ryan Matthews.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
All right, Sean. Receivers?
Receivers. So we got a sleeper. We got a bust. I don't know. I'm going to call him a sleeper just because of where he's rated. Obviously, he's gotten a lot of press. But I like Wes Welker. I mean, it sounds really simple. And, hey, why
a lot of mouths to feed over there in Denver.
Yeah, but see, but Wes Welker, he gets catches. And I don't know. I feel like Peyton Manning's going to find him a lot. So I definitely like Wes Welker as someone that possibly getting a little overlooked there. As far as bus, let's see here. I don't know, man. I can't. Maybe it's just my anti.
Maybe
bust
is the wrong word, but it's. Oh, with really?
Disappointment. I don't know.
You going to say Dez Bryant?
Yeah.
Did you see what Dez Bryant did the second half of the year?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess they just. Nah, I guess I should leave that alone. That's probably just my anti-cowboy bias talking.
Yeah, a couple guys. I'll tell you, while you're thinking, Sean, a couple guys I'm definitely going to stay away from
well,
this year.
And this guy, Vincent Jackson. I'm not. Yep. I don't know. I don't think. There's a decent chance. You're talking about Mike Glennon. There's a decent chance he could be starting at the end of the year. I mean.
Not a big fan of Josh Freeman.
No. Josh Freeman, much like Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford's gotten a little longer leash because of his guaranteed rookie contract. He was one of the last guys who got that big money.
He was the last guy, but
And probably would have been out in favor of RG3 if it wasn't for that huge contract. So he's got a little longer leash, but he's in that similar area where this kind of could be it. So if you see Tampa Bay struggling, they're in a very competitive division. They lost. The Eagles beat them at home last year. And they quit pretty hard on that coach. So I don't know what kind of fight's left in this Bucs team. But things could get ugly late there. And you don't want a receiver attached to a guy like that.
Yeah.
So Vincent Jackson's a definite stay away for me, especially considering how high he's getting picked.
Yeah, I'll go three, all in the top 10 at ESPN. I'm not going to draft Vincent Jackson, Andre Johnson, or Roddy White, where they're going. It's a little crazy. I'd rather take some high upside, get some of my sleeper guys, which include Dwayne Bowe. Again, Andy Reid coming to town. Alex Smith, the offense is going to be under control. I think Dwayne Bowe has a big year. He's a year removed from that injury now. I like Tavon Austin in St. Louis. I don't know if any of you want to see how good Tavon Austin is, just pull up a YouTube clip of his college highlights. He's got the quickness of Darren Sproles and the straight line speed of Chris Johnson. He's pretty amazing. And then a couple guys, late picks, might not even go depending on the kind of league you're in. DeAndre Hopkins, first round pick for Houston. Andre Johnson's getting old. They've never really had a number two receiver.
Yeah, they're saying he's going to be a legit number two there in Houston.
Yeah, he looks good. And Alshon Jeffrey, trained with Brandon Marshall in the offseason. Brandon Marshall said, and I quote, "Alshon was too soft. He had to learn how to be tougher like me." So he's a big receiver from South Carolina. I think that could end up being – I know Jay Cutler loves to throw to Brandon Marshall, but Alshon Jeffrey's going in like the 15th, 16th. Right? He's going real late.
And Brandon Marshall is tough. I mean, his girlfriend stabbed him, and he stayed with her.
He is tough. And one last sleeper and bust. Bust Mike Wallace. I forgot to mention him earlier. I want nothing to do with him.
Really?
Well, by all my sources say, what I've been reading, he's getting smothered by a cornerback who might not make the team. And Danny Amendola, he's going in the, third, fourth round, and he's clearly the number one target in New England.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to say him as a bust.
No. Yeah, as a sleeper.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. That's a guy I overlooked there. But, I mean, that's part of my idea that,
New England, you're all in on New England.
Unfortunately, I feel like they're going to have a good year, especially offensively.
All right. Last one, tight ends.
Sure. Now, let me see.
We kind of talk. I'll go first while you're looking.
Yeah, I got to look
at it. Since we touched on it in the draft, I love. The only way I take a tight end is if I take a tight end early. If Jimmy Graham's sitting there in the second round, maybe I take him, and it's a point per reception league. Other than that, give me Brandon Myers and the Giants. Give me Martellus Bennett on the Bears. Like you said, Jermichael Finley, Jared Cook, Jordan Cameron. Any of those guys that are going in that range of I don't know, what was it? In our draft, it was rounds 7 through 10. I like any of those guys, and I like them there, and I like the idea of taking two if you have a lot of bench spots. If not, stick with one. But I really like – if I had to settle on one, or I'll give you two because I like Jared Cook and Jordan Cameron. Really like those as a sleepers. And for the bus, I got to be honest. I want nothing to do with Rob Gronkowski this year. Interesting thing about his back surgery, the rehab, when they're all saying his rehab is going to take him right up to the season, he might be ready. The rehab, for the back surgery he had, he won't be in shape. The rehab is basically to strengthen the back muscles, and he's not going to be doing a lot of running and things like that. So I would be
really hesitant to use.
I would put the over under at week 5 when he comes back.
Now, obviously, there's at some point a round where you would have to take a guy like Rob Gronkowski. What round is that for you?
If Rob Gronkowski, he's going in the second, third round in most of these drafts.
Oh, wow. I'm thinking I'll start eyeing up a Gronkowski in round 5 or 6. With that kind of serious injury problem, a back surgery?
It would have
to
be ridiculous value.
That guy's a physical guy.
I was going to say the 5th round. If he's there in the 5th round, I could consider taking him because when he comes back, kind of like the Blackman thing, when he does play, you know he's going to put up numbers.
Yeah, but the Blackman thing, you're expecting.
He's healthy at least.
Well, Blackman, yes, he's healthy. And also, he's not filling up one of those one or two receiver spots. It's okay to sit Blackman on your bench. If you're drafting Rob Gronkowski, you can't afford to bench Rob Gronkowski in 5 games.
We also took him in the 10th round. Yeah, Gronkowski played 10 games last year, right?
Yeah, I'll take the under on 10.
Okay, he still was the number two tight end.
That's true.
Yeah, so I guess that's the point. He was very good in the time he played. So what do you...
Well, this one, Vernon Davis. Not a big Vernon Davis guy. I don't know.
He had like 3 good weeks in the beginning of the season last year, and then he didn't do anything.
Yeah, he just falls off the map. I mean, I don't know where he's going, but just no value there.
He's going. He went in the 4th round in our. He's going like 4th, 5th, 6th round.
This other guy, just don't see a big year for him. Aaron Hernandez, just don't expect a lot out of him.
Wow, so Aaron Hernandez, is he a bust or a sleeper?
Well, that's how fucking old these magazines are. How do they print a magazine where, like, Aaron Hernandez is listed in, like, multiple things?
Well, you asked a good question that should be applied to every piece of thing that's printed on paper anymore.
Why are
we wasting money on that?
I love their bust for Hernandez. Hernandez hasn't been in the league for 3 years, and hasn't been able to make it through a full 16-game regular season. Well, I guess not much has changed for Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah.
As far as legit sleepers, Tyler Eifert from the Cincinnati Bengals, young kid, rookie, a lot of potential there.
Looks good. You got to be in a pretty deep league for him to be your starter. And I do think his value is going to go up as Hard Knocks goes on. He was kind of highlighted in one of the pieces.
Yeah, he's not even. It's just like, you know, kind of long shot guy. Same Zach Ertz, the Eagles. 2 catches, 36 yards against the Panthers.
Zach Ertz.
Obviously preseason, but the guy has serious playmaker potential. And you're talking about this Chip Kelly offense. No one really knows what's going on.
And it was no accident. Chip Kelly knows who Zach Ertz is. Zach Ertz kind of owned him.
Yeah.
When Stanford played Oregon. So he knows exactly what he's getting there. I mean, I said the same thing. Zach Ertz, what? He's like 6'6", something crazy?
He's a big target. If you got Vic dropping back, he's going to be running around. Who do they go to? They go to their safety blanket. Who's their safety blanket's tight end? Obviously, Celek has been a workhorse for the Eagles. But and James Casey, it sounds like he might be doing a little bit more blocking. And Celek might even be transitioning to more of like an H-back type thing. I think Zach Ertz, in all honesty, could be the leading pass receiver as far as tight ends.
You want to know what I heard? Insider knowledge here?
Sure.
Look for Zach Ertz to line up out wide in two receiver sets.
Yeah, no, I could really see.
They don't have a true number two. Jason Avant's going to be in there. Riley Cooper's going to be in there. But look out for Zach. I mean, think about the versatility that gives you for running the ball. You line up a guy out in the slot or out wide that's 6'6", whatever he weighs. I mean, he might be a guy that is being drafted by the end of preseason if he keeps this up.
Yeah, so that's kind of the sleeper bust for tight ends.
Yeah, so should we go through how our team turned out
real quick? Yeah, sure. Felt pretty solid about our team.
Yeah, I mean, all right, so so we got Russell Wilson at our starting quarterback spot with Michael Vick backing him up. Some serious upside there.
A lot of potential.
Running backs, McCoy, Monty Ball. I like that.
Yeah.
I think there's some uncertainty around Ball right now, but I think come Thursday night, opening game, you're going to see Monty Ball is in there as a starter.
Still like Ravens 8.5, though.
Yeah, all right, that's fine. And then here's the real strength of our team. Brandon Marshall, Larry Fitzgerald starting at the receiver spot. Victor Cruz at the flex.
Wow. That's
with Jermichael Finley at tight end. And then we have Stevie Johnson, Justin Blackmon, Quiz Rogers, and Jordan Cameron. So I would say the one thing we would be looking to do would
flip a receiver
for a little more running back depth. But other than that, I like the way our team turned out. I like that it's always nice when you have number one targets at receiver. You know Brandon Marshall is going to get 10. Brandon Marshall, Larry Fitzgerald, and Victor Cruz are all going to get 10
targets a week.
10 targets a game each. Yeah, it's
30 total, and you don't have to worry about the second receiver getting involved.
Yeah, it's nice. So I don't know. I'm pretty stoked. When's your first draft, Sean?
I don't know. I think our personal fantasy whenever that is.
I have a bunch, Sean. I am unfortunately in too many fantasy leagues.
Ours, our friends one. I got like a family one my cousin runs.
Oh.
And then, of course, the Sports Gambling Podcast. We're going to be doing a fantasy draft.
So, Sean, you want to hear something sad?
Sure.
I might actually be dropping out of a league. It's unclear. Including the Sports Gambling Podcast Fantasy Football League. I will either be in 8 or 9 leagues this year. Extremely unhealthy.
It's too much, Ryan.
It is too much, especially
that
when...
That doesn't even include our pick'em leagues.
No, of course not. And then there's going to be... Oh.
And then, of course, the Vegas Super Contest.
Yeah. So, God, I'm going to be in 9 fantasy leagues, a Survivor League, 2 pick'em leagues, 3 pick'ems if you include the Vegas Hilton, and then shameless plug here, and then I'm going to be in a couple League Head leagues.
Oh,
so that's coming back. Plug leagueheads.com. Go check it out. In a couple weeks, I'll start up a sports gambling podcast league. For those of you who have not heard me plug it before, basically take fantasy football, replace the nerdy stats and player bullshit, and it's just fantasy gambling. You start the week with $5,000 or 5,000 league head bucks, and you bet on the games. It's a head-to-head matchup. Whoever ends up with more money at the end of the week wins.
Pretty simple.
Number one spot at the end of the season. I have to throw it. Or maybe if you make the championship, winner gets a T-shirt.
Okay.
All right. Also, ESPN Fantasy Football League and Fantasy. We'll do the Fantasy Football League first. Those plugs will start going on Twitter. What are we gonna do?
Twitter at Gambling Podcast. Yeah. Winner top 3 get Sports Gambling Podcast T-shirt.
Top 3. All right. I like that.
Free shipping. Free everything. And hey, maybe you win one at the end of the year, but you could also look really sweet at your fantasy draft by wearing a Sports Gambling Podcast T-shirt.
Yep.
Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com, click merchandise. It's very easy to fill out. You either select large or extra large.
Yep.
It's $20. That includes shipping to anywhere in the United States of America.
Yep.
So good times, guys. And, of course, score big. If you're planning on going to a game, honestly, I used it to get some sweet Dodger tickets when the Phillies played them out here. It's really easy to use. You just go in, you set a price, how much you want to pay for the tickets. It'll kind of give, it has this like red and green indicator bar, kind of giving you an idea of whether it's going to go through or not. If it doesn't go through your bid, you can just bid again the next day. Really easy. Found some good deals on it, and super easy. Either print the tickets out or have them delivered via FedEx. Save a lot off the box office price. So tons of NFL action. Make sure you go there. All you do is click through the link there on sportsgamblingpodcast.com.
Yeah, Sean. And then the pick'em. We'll get the pick'em info out.
Pick'em.
Same deal. What are we going to do? We're going to pay. We'll give out some shirts. Top 10% get T-shirts.
Yep. That sounds good. We'll figure it all out once we we'll save the pick'em info for the Over-Under podcast, which will be out early next week. So I know you guys have been hitting up us on Twitter. We want to do a little bit more research for the Over-Under, but we thought we'd get this fantasy episode out.
It'll be great because now, you know, next week, the fantasy one's going to come out now. The Over-Under come out in a week. Season will only be 2 weeks, a week and a half away. Sweet,
man. The countdown is on.
Happy football.
We're almost there to football. For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I am Sean, stacking the money green, and he is Ryan.
I bet they all thought we forgot, Sean. Unfortunately, due to our Hawaii trip, we did not do a pre-PGA Championship podcast.
Oh, yeah.
But as you know, if we had, we would have surely backed our boy Jason Duffner.
Biggest slipper in the game, baby.
Yep. I did see that he was 33-1.
Oh, man. Of course.
And he went out there and won it. Won it for smokeless tobacco.
And smokeless tobacco users across this great country. Kramer, let it ride.